Thank you, Drew.
All right, 1 Samuel 17, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. What a joy it is to be here at this conference to labor with God's people. Good to see the Rooster Teens this morning. Praise the Lord. Good. And good to see Brother and Mrs. Vasek, Pastor Mrs. Souther, Brother Hassie, Brother Rios, my good friend and mentor in the ministry, Brother Teft and Brother Mason, and the Joyful Melodies. We had a wonderful time this summer. Raise your hand if we were in your church this summer, the Joyful Melodies. Raise your hand. All right, Parkersburg. Woo! Praise the Lord. Good. West Virginia, Mountaineers, baby. Come on now. I know how it is. Praise the Lord. And then over here in the New York, the Brewster, New York area. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. It is such a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, young people. The truth is, I'm going to get to preaching a little bit, but I'll say this. There's nothing that you can spend your life doing that is worth more than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, 21 years ago, and I have to testify, friend, but 21 years ago, God drastically changed my life. I found myself in a broken home, in a divorced home, Brother Rios, as is the case in many inner city areas. And I'm from the east side of Long Beach, East 52nd Street, 27 and a half B. And the bus route came by. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? But the bus route came by one day and knocked on my door and said, Sammy, we want you to go to church. And I remember saying, I don't want to go to church because I didn't want to be bored, Brother Mason. I don't want to go to church and hear all these stories. I'm brokenhearted. Man, I got bitterness in my heart, Brother Teff, because of our family situation. And I said, I don't want to go to church. And one day, my friend Jamal, he was about 6 feet tall, Josh, and he came by and he said, Brother Vasek, we're going to have hot dog Sunday at the church next week, okay? Now, let's just be real this morning. How many of you would not go to church today for a hot dog? Raise your hand. I mean, just be honest, okay? So when he said hot dog Sunday, man, I began to wonder, what does all that mean? I don't know what hot dog Sunday means. Does that mean that the pastor or the priest or the bishop is going to be in front dressed like a hot dog? You ever see them dressed like a hot dog on the corner of some street? And while they're flipping the sign, you ever seen them do that? They're flipping the sign and they're making like minimum wage and they're working like, I can't say all that, but they're working hard, man. They ain't making that much money. But that day I came to church for a hot dog, but I got Jesus Christ that day. Oh my, Pastor Southern, God began to change my life. Someone gave me a preaching tape and the name of the tape was called Is There a Hell, Brother Hassie? And I remember my Sunday school teacher, he's about 6'4", about 260 pounds, size 16 shoe. His name was Brother Mac Langston. And I remember Brother Langston, he used to tell us before the classroom would be dismissed, he said, boys, now look at me, boys, look at me, look at me. He says, I'm going to give you one thing before you leave. And Dwig, you know what he said? He said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And then the next week, Gwen, the Sunday school teacher would say, Jesus loves you. And then I would go home and put on that preaching tape of Brother Hiles. And I would hear him screaming and hollering in the background. Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Hell is longer than 10 seconds. Hell is longer than 10 minutes. Hell is longer than 10 hours. Hell is longer than 10 days. Hell is longer than 10 weeks. Hell is longer than 10 months. Hell is longer than 10 years. Hell is longer than 10,000 years. Hell is longer than 10 million years. And I used to hear that all the time. And then one day I was in my bedroom, teenager, and I remember the message of the Sunday school teacher when he would say, boys, before you dismiss, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And I would hear the background, is there a hell? And Jesus loves you. Is there a hell? And Jesus loves you. And by the grace of God, 21 years ago, finally in my bedroom, I remember kneeling down and I said, God, I won't fight you anymore. I don't want to go to hell. You know that I'm hurt. You know that I'm going through all this agony. God, you know that I got bitterness. Lord, you know the situation of my home. God, you know that I'm nobody, God, but if you'll take me to heaven when I die, God, if you'll change my life, God, if you'll give me a reason for living, God, I'll accept you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And I got up off my knees that day, and this bus kid 21 years ago trusted Christ as his personal savior. And I want to say this morning, all of you bus kids that are here this morning, don't you shortchange the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can make something great out of you. And I want to say to all the pastor's kids this morning, to all the deacon kids this morning, to all the layman kids this morning, don't you shortchange God for what he can do in your life. You take God and have a walk with God and pray with God and let God speak to you and let God change your life and let God be your God, not just your parents' God. I don't know why I'm here this morning other than the grace of God. God brought us this far. My wife and I have two children. We've been married for 5 years. I worked in the ministry. I'm only going on my 7th year. I feel like a rookie, and I am. I feel like a novice, Pastor Souther, but I'm having the greatest time of my life, young people. This morning, I want to point out three things in the book of 1 Samuel 17. It won't take me that long. How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Raise your hand. Of course, we all know the story. Tell me how old you were when you first heard the story of David and Goliath. Brother Josh, how old were you? 2 to 3 years old. Good. Joe, how old were you when you first heard the story of David and Goliath? 2 to 3. Okay, good. Anybody not heard the story between 2 to 3? Anybody else? Okay. Good. How about you, Jeremy? 16. Okay. Everybody's heard the story of David and Goliath. Right here, the scripture says in verse 49, 1 Samuel 17, verse 49. Look at what the Bible says. And David put his hand in his bag, verse 49, and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed, verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. This morning, I'd just like to talk about the unusual instrument that God used to defeat the Philistine, or the champion of the Philistines. Let's pray very briefly and ask God to help us. Lord Jesus, you know that we need you very desperately. God, I think about what the man of God says. God, we can do nothing unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down and touches this place. I pray, God, that even this morning, that you bless the message this morning, that you bless Brother Teft as he preaches, that you give anointing to Brother Mason, and then to Brother Ray and Brother Polly a little bit later. God, I pray that all this, God, all this preparation and all the practicing for music and skits and videos and preaching would not be in vain, God. I pray that it would be used of you, God, please. We need you, God. Please help me in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the story begins in chapter 17, and the Bible says that Israel and Philistine met in the Valley of Elah. And as they met in the Valley of Elah, the Bible says that Israel stood on one side of the mountain, and the Philistines stood on the other side of the mountain, and they were setting a battle in array, okay? So they're about to fight, and army against army, and Philistine nation against nation. And the Bible says that there come out from Gath of the Philistines a champion out of the Philistines named Goliath, okay? And Goliath raises up, and this 9'6" Shrek guy, he starts to talk all this trash to the Israelites. And you know what he says? He says, I want you to give me a man that will fight from you. I want you to give me one man that will be able to step to me. I want you to give me one guy that'll fight against me. And the Bible says that all of Israel was sore afraid. And can you imagine their knees buckling? And can you imagine their hands shaking? Can you imagine all these thousands of men wondering, what are we going to do? Nobody wants to fight against Goliath because we're scared. We can't do anything. And I could imagine that Saul probably in himself said, everybody's looking at me, because the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders over all of Israel. And people looked at Saul, and Saul was sore afraid as well. Well, one day the Bible says that Jesse, which was David's dad, he says, I want you to take these cheeses and I want you to take this food to your brothers that are in the battle, okay? Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. I want you to take this food to them and I want you to give it to them because they're going to be a little bit hungry, okay? And so when he gets to the battle, David begins to hear the words of Goliath. And Goliath is defying the armies of the living God. He hears, give me a man from the Israelites that'll fight against me today. Give me a man today that'll step to me. And he saw the reaction of all the people. David begins to talk to somebody and say, hey, what's this all about? What's going on? Why is anybody stepping to Goliath? Why is anybody wanting to fight him? Does anybody have any courage? He says, look, man, I was back there in the field, and there come a lion out of the bushes, and I killed that lion. And there comes a bear out of the bushes, and I killed that bear. The same God that delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion and of the paw of the bear will be the same God that delivered this uncircumcised Philistine today. And people began to murmur, and they began to gossip. And finally, word got to Saul. And Saul says, send pitch for this man. And so the Bible says that they brought David before Saul. Now, may I remind you, David was a ruddy guy. David was a youth. David was a nice looking fella. He was talented. He was gifted. But I want to say this. He didn't even know it, Brother Teff. He had no idea that he was talented. He had no idea that he was gifted. He had no idea. But I knew one thing about David. David put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he stood before Saul, Saul the king says, now, talk to me a little bit about what I've been hearing, David. And David says, look, King Saul, thy servant is able to go a fight against this Philistine. He says, look, King, I was out in the field when Simba came over to kill one of my sheep, and I ripped his head off. And I was out in the field when Winnie the Pooh came out, and I ripped his head off. And he said, Saul, the same God that delivered me out of those situations will be the same God that will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistines. This day will God give me the head and the body of this uncircumcised Philistines to feed the carcasses of this field. And one day, by the grace of God, David goes against Goliath and he stands before him and he says, Goliath, look, you're coming to me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I'm not coming to you with these type of instruments. I'm not coming to you with these type of weapons. I'm not coming to you in my skill, in my talent, in my human strength. I'm coming to you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord my God, the God whom thou hast defied. And what we need this morning is a generation of teenagers who would say, it's not by my talent, it's not by my might, it's not by my skill, it's not by my intelligence, it's not by my pedigree, it's not by my church, it's not by my parents, but it's by my God that I can challenge the armies of this world. You know what makes me sick? It makes me sick when the Colosseums are filled and they're chanting the name of Katy Perry. Katy, Katy, Katy. You know what makes me sick? When I see the Colosseums filled and they're chanting the name of Kim Kardashian. Kim. And they're chanting the name of Kanye West. And they're chanting the names of Lil Wayne. And they're chanting the names of all these country music stars. But when in the world are the people and the young people who are called by the name of Jesus will stand up and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let me give you something that'll help you this morning. Let me give you something that'll relieve your sin. Let me give you something that will change your life. Hey, girls, let me give you something that God can do in your life. And it's not by good works. And it's not by good works, lest any man should boast. And I'm sick this morning that many of us have an exterior look of godliness. Many of us have an exterior look of piety. Many of us have an exterior look like we act a certain part, but we are not knowing the God who we confess to know. And we can read the scripture and we can dress right and we can sing right. But I'm telling you something this morning, teenager, unless you get right and do right, it will be of no avail. What do I need this morning? He needs teenagers that stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Yes, sir. David said, I got something to say. His brother got mad at him, preacher. You know why his brother got mad at him? Because his brother was scared too. Eliab, why didn't you do anything about it? You hear this guy talking all this trash, why don't you stand up against him? He says, I know the pride and the naughtiness of your heart, but what they didn't know is that David didn't come down to see the battle. He came down to seize the battle. He says, I got something to do today that's more important than you, Eliab. I got something more important to do than you, Shammah. I got something more important to do than you, Abinadab. I got something more important to do than you, King. I got to represent for my Savior, Jesus Christ. Not a sword, friend, not a sling, not a spear, but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about what he used. You see verse number 40? Verse number 40. The Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in the script, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. I say point number one, this unusual instrument were the stones. I say one, it was a selected stone, chosen. It was a selected stone, it was chosen. David reached down that day and he said, I'm gonna choose, I'm gonna select these stones. Whew. I'm gonna put them in my sling. And I'm allowed God to use these stones. I say to you this morning, teenager, the Bible says that we are a chosen generation. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Know what the word peculiar means? Weird. We don't fit in this world, friend. The Bible still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Talk to me. Not in him. The love of the Father is what? It's not in him. Chosen generation. I wish some of you today would say, I want God to choose me. God has already chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should bear forth fruit and good fruit, and that your fruit would remain. I wish every teenager under the sound of my voice would say, I want God to choose me. I'll be selected by God, and I'll go back home to the churches, and I'll go back to Bailey's Grove Baptist, and I'll go back to Grace Baptist, and I'll go back to First Baptist, and I'll go back to Puerta Abierta, and I'll go back to the church. And I'll set my church on fire for God. Praise the Lord. That's what we need, friend. Chosen by God. Why would God choose you, friend? You don't deserve to be chosen. Why would God select me? I don't deserve to be chosen. God knows. I like what the preacher was saying yesterday. He knows my down sitting. He knows my uprising. He knows my thoughts are far off. He knows that I'm wicked. He knows, my friend, that I'm full of iniquity. He knows that I'm a sinner. He knows that I have nothing to give him. He knows that my life is broken. But I like what the songwriter says. A broken life is all I have to offer you, and yet it is a priceless gift to thee. Only God can take a violin who's been cracked, who's been torn, who's been worn, and say, I'll tune it up for the glory of God, and I'll make a melodious tune so that others can see that it's not about the violin, it's not about the instrument, but it's about the hands of the master, my friend. Many of you boys say, God has been calling you to preach this week. And you know what you've done to God? Nah, God, I can't preach. Many of you guys, God has tapped you on the shoulder and says, I want you in a gospel ministry. And you know what you say to God? God, I can't do it. God, I'm limited. God, I don't know the words to say. God, I'm not as intelligent as so-and-so. Many of you girls, God has tapped you on the shoulder and he says, I want you to keep your purity. I want you to do right. I want you to dream about one day walking down to the altar where your parents are crying and your youth pastor's crying and your pastor's crying and there's a man of God waiting for you right there because you kept your purity. Can you see it, girls? Hey guys, what about you? Has God tapped you on the shoulder this week? Many of you out there are still pretending to be saved and you'll put off the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and says, I know you're not saved. You know you're not saved, and you'll put it off because of your pride. You'll put it off because of your procrastination. You don't want anybody to think that you're not saved. How about some of you? God's been speaking to you about getting on fire for God. You throw your Bible aside on Sunday morning and on Saturday night and on Monday through Friday. You don't even know where the Bible's at. And when the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What to God that we would get on fire for God one more time and go back and tear it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back and serve in your bus route. Go back and serve in the Sunday school class. Go back and serve in the nursery. Go back and serve on the streets. Go back and serve the tables. Go back and serve God where you're at, friend. Selected stones. They were chosen. Not only that, I'll say this, number two. These were smooth. The girls always make fun of me because I don't know how to say smooth right. You know, if you black, you're going to put the F on the end. They were smooth. Everybody say smooth on three. One, two, three. Smooth. There you go, baby. Smooth, all right? They were smooth stones. You know what that means? Mrs. Colson, they were crafted stones. Yeah. Woo. Now, let's just be real. If I'm going to go fight Shrek, Jeremy, if I'm going to go fight Shrek, I'm not taking some smooth stones with me, Pastor Vasek. If I'm going to go fight Shrek, BT, I'm taking all the terrorists. I'm going to dig out Osama bin Laden's body. I'm going to put it on my shoulder. You see what I'm saying? I'm taking all the Crips and Blood and all the Latin Kings from Chicago with me because I'm fixing to go fight Goliath. Everybody with me? You with me? Say amen. You good? All right, good, good. Because I'm going to fight Goliath. I need help. I'm taking a bazooka. I'm taking a Uzi. I'm taking a shank. I'm taking a grenade. I'm taking my mother-in-law. Yeah. Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Woo, woo. You know why? Brother Sam, because I'm fighting against Goliath. He's a giant. But David picked down a smooth stone. It was smooth, crafted, not hard, not rugged, not rigid, but smooth, teenager. You say, I want God to speak to me, Brother Sammy. And I want to ask you a question. How's your heart this morning? I want God to do a work in my life. But how hard is your heart this morning? I want God to craft me. And I want God to make me. I want God to fashion me. But how many of your hearts are hard this morning? Because you come to the house of God thinking about those wicked rap lyrics. Because you come to the house of God thinking about your sorry fornication. Because you come to the house of God thinking about this world. Because you come to the house of God and you're proud of the fact that you dress right and you dress better than somebody else. And you're proud of the fact that your family's better than somebody else. And you're proud of the fact that you live in a better area of the city than somebody else. Because you come to the house of God thinking that you're better, and your heart this morning is hard before the Lord. Why is it that some kids come forward and get saved? Why is it that some kids come forward and get right with God? Why is it that some girls will give up their dress standards this week and say, I'm going to give it to the glory of God? Why is it that some will give up their rap and country and R&B and techno and rock and roll music this week, but you will not give it up? You know why? Because you got a hard heart, friend. Your heart is not smooth. Your heart is not pliable. God says, I don't want any calluses in my hands. I already got wounds there, friend. I want to shape you. I want to mold you. I want you to say, put me on the wheel, Jesus, and take away, the Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The Bible says, take away that dross. Take away the sin. The Bible says, if any sin, any have iniquity, confess your fault before God, and he who is faithful and just shall forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe that every teenager here this morning ought to pray the prayer of Psalm 51 when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, wash me thoroughly. God, make me right. Wash me, Jesus, and accept me and use me for the purpose of the Lord this morning. Amen. Crafted by God. Amen. Smooth stones, friend. Selected, chosen. Smooth, crafted. Watch this. Probably my favorite point. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. Let's read it. I'm almost done. The Bible says he took a staff in his hand and chosen five smooth stones and out of the brook. And I want you to read this next following words. When you're ready, begin. And put them in a what? Talk to me. In a shepherd's bag, friend. These are the shepherd's stones. You know what that means? They were cared for. He got these stones. And he says, I've chosen these stones. These are smooth stones. But wait a minute, I'm not gonna just drop them on the ground. I'm not gonna put them on a sling at once. The Bible says this, and don't miss this. He put it in a shepherd's bag, young people. A shepherd's bag. Cared for. The Bible says the Lord is my what? The Lord is my what? Yeah. Hey, the hireling flees when the wolves come. The hireling flees when the enemy comes. The hireling flees. You know why? Because he does not care for the sheep. The hireling sees the wolf coming and he clocks out because he doesn't care for the sheep. I want to say to all of you that think that this world cares about you, you have lost your sorry mind. This world doesn't care about you, friend. Nobody loves you, friend. Oh, they say the prodigal son, after he wasted his substance and riotous living with all his friends, with all his companions, where were they when they needed a helping hand? Where were they when he needed a job? Where were they when he needed something to drink? Where were they when he needed something to eat? They forsook him. They left him. You know why? Because they didn't care about him. Many of you this morning, you're giving your loyalty and love to somebody that doesn't give a rip about you. You lost your mind. Girls, you're giving away your body to some guy that doesn't give a rip about you, girl. Hey, guys, you're giving over your morality to somebody that doesn't care about you. Shepherd stones, friend. Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God, not but Satan, but God, not but this world, but God, not but my friend, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible still says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one of the things, my friend, that helped Paul out while he was on his missionary journeys, and Paul who was shipwrecked, and Paul who was bitten by a snake, and Paul who was left for dead and stoned and thrown in jail, one of the things that helped Paul was when he said, oh, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. I can't flee his love. I can't escape his love. I cannot flee from his power. And the Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth you. And I want to say this morning, have you noticed, friend, that God loves you? Woo! You woke up this morning. Let's be real. You woke up this morning, teenager, and you took a fresh breath of air. The love of Christ. You woke up this morning. Some of you went to brush your teeth and some of you didn't. I can tell. Come on now. The love of Christ. You went to your closet and you put on the clothes. The love of Christ. You picked out your shoes and you put them on your feet. The love of Christ. You went and got something to eat. You sat down at the table. The love of Christ. You got on a bus or a shuttle to come to the house of God this morning. The love of Christ. You had a youth pastor have devotions with you sometime this week and pray for you. The love of Christ. You had parents sacrifice, work two jobs, overtime, triple time, all the time to get you here at this conference. You know what that is? It's the love of Christ. You have your own bedroom. You know what that is? That's the love of Christ. You have your own clothes. You know what that means? The love of Christ. You have parents that love you and pray for you and fast for you and have good dreams and wonderful dreams for you. You know what that is? The love of Christ. Oh, but let me take you to that day. You remember? Yeah, you do. Of course you do. He was in Gethsemane's garden. Yeah, you remember that, Jeremy? And they come by to take him, Brother Hassie. He knew he would be betrayed. He already knew all that, preacher. 30 measly pieces of silver. And yet he still accepted the kiss of the betrayer, Judas. He was led away, friend, carried his own cross. He was tried. He was tempted. He was scourged. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. The Bible says that they put nails in his hands. The Bible says that they put nails in his feet. The scripture says that they put a crown of thorns on his head. The Bible says that they spit upon him and they mocked him. The Bible says they gambled over his garments. The Bible says that he cried out, I thirst. And instead of giving him water, they gave him vinegar to drink. The Bible says that there was a thief next to him and the thief mocked him. And he says, you saved others. You can't even save yourself. Oh, but praise God for the thief that was next to him. And he said, I don't know what this guy and this idiot is talking about. But if you're the Son of God, would you please take me to that place you're talking about? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The scripture says that he hung on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which translated means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know why he did that? Because he loves you. Shepherd stones, friend. I want to ask you a question. How many would say, I've been fighting the Holy Spirit this week, Brother Sam. But today, I'm making a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give God my life. Hey, Annabelle, Lydia, good to see you. I'm going to give it over to Jesus. And I want God to use my life. There's going to be several messages throughout the day. This man will preach and God will speak to you. This man over here will preach. Dear the men of God, let God speak to your heart today. It's the last day, friend. For some of you, this is the last straw. This is it. It saddens me, Brother Hassie, but some of you teenagers won't be at youth conference next year because you'll make the wrong choice.
After all this preaching you've heard, you'll make the wrong choice. After all the singing you've heard, you'll make the wrong choice. After all the prayer, after all the love. That's all right, God. Let's pray.